Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to WDKK Radio. My name is DA, and I'll be your host on the broadcast this evening. In just a few moments, we'll be getting started, but before we do, here's something just for you.
Everyone, this is Wardell Potts for WDKK Radio. How have you guys been? I hope everything is great for you. Hope you had a great week. It's been a long one for me, for sure. And you know, I'm on this line by myself, and you know, it really feels like I'm getting ready to do the Love Zone, lighting the candles here in the studio. I'm having a good time up in here. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm so excited because we have a great lineup tonight for you guys. I'm not sure how the advertisement went, but, you know, tonight we are going to be featuring Philly's Best tonight. And so we're really looking forward to interviewing Mr. Steve Green, which, you know, incredible musician artist out of the city of Philadelphia. And we love to highlight the city of brotherly love because that's where DA and Wardell are from. And so it is time to actually bring that show back. So we're really looking forward to interviewing him. And then in addition to that, before we get to Steve Green, we're going to bring on the Throwdown Brothers, just one of the Throwdown Brothers. Actually, it'll be a two on the line, though. And we're going to share or have Dana Myers from the Throwdown Brothers share with us who are the Throwdown Brothers. What are they about? Where do they come from and what do they do? So, and believe me, trust me, there's a lot of songs that these guys did. So we're really looking forward to that as well. So
that's what I want to know. Who are the Throwdown Brothers? That's what I'm waiting to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out in a minute or two.
How's it going, my brother?
Oh, man, it's all good, man. I'm excited to be at the weekend again. And, you know, that's one good thing about this show. It actually, I know that when we're about to do this show, the week is over.
Right.
You know, I'm done with all of the bump and grind. Now I can just get here and just chill out, relax, enjoy myself, and prepare for a beautiful weekend, God willing.
Exactly. Well, I did get a call earlier. Well, first of all, I do want to say greetings to all of our listeners on WDK Radio. I was a little late getting in. I had a last-minute telephone call I had to wrap up. So I do want to welcome everybody to the show. I want to say hey to Wardell. Hey, guess who we have in the chat room with us tonight?
Who?
Myrtle.
All right, there we go. Hi, Mama Myrtle. I hope you can hear us this time.
Yeah, she got everything set, found out why she couldn't get in the chat room last week. But, you know, she was listening to the show, but we have her both listening to the show and in the chat room tonight. So that's always encouraging. So, and,
Very nice.
Yeah, to everybody else that's listening in, we welcome you again to WDKK Radio. And, all right, and now that we've got the formalities out of the way, you were getting ready to say something, or was I? Oh, yeah, we were talking about the end of the week, and I agree. You know, I was finishing up work today, and everybody was, you know, I was asking everybody, did they have big plans for the weekend? And everybody was saying, well, no, not really. I'm just going to be home. So I told myself, well, y'all need to go ahead and tune in to the show tonight. They said, well, what y'all going to be talking about? And I told them, well, you got to tune in to find out. But but I always look forward to, to really getting to this part of the week and unwinding, sitting down, talking with you and talking with Angel, talking with our guests, talking with our listeners. So, I mean, it always keeps me going through the week. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Absolutely. It truly is. And, this weekend is very, very unique and very special to me and my dear heart. My dear heart, which is me. I am so narcissistic, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. That's
well,
okay,
the
though.
Reason is because this will be the first Saturday ever in my entire life that I will be going to a baby shower for my first grandchild. So
oh, that's
I am
exciting.
Like, yeah, I'm totally stoked, man. Totally stoked. And I'm very happy about that. So, and then the following Saturday, I have another baby shower for my son's fiance. So, I mean,
wow.
I got two grandbabies coming at once at the same time. They both do it the second week in January.
Ooh, have
so
you been
I'm
saving
really,
up those royalty checks?
Actually, I was hoping that you were saving up yours.
Man, look, I have 10 grandkids. My royalty checks are spent for the next 18 years.
Wow. Man,
yeah.
10 grandkids? I have none. I'm only just beginning.
Well,
and,
they're great, though. I mean, I joke about mine a lot, but, I mean, I love them all. I mean, they really, it brings joy to me. But what's funny, and since, you know, Mama Myrtle's in the room tonight, because, you know, Myrtle is like my second mom, right? And, I mean, she's known me, like, forever, you know, since I was born. But I look at my grandkids, and I think about when I was that size. And, you know, looking at Myrtle in the chat room, I think about, you know, what I must have put her through, you know, when I was outside, because, I mean, she was babysitting and everything else while my mom and dad were out taking care of all of their business. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with Myrtle. And, you know, so I look at my grandkids now and, you know, have to change diapers and all of that. And I think about Myrtle doing that. And I have to, like, say, you know, again, wow, Myrtle, thanks.
Really? Yeah, thank you. Thanks. You know, I've done that with my mom. It's kind of weird because I thought about, like something just hit me out of the blue. And I started thinking about some of the things that I did, and it was so wrong to my mom. Like, I'll tell you the story real quickly here. It's a short story. But she got her driver's license, and she got it really late. You know, we were like about 16 years old, and 16 or 17, whatever. And my mom was driving. She got a license. She came to my dad's store, and she was like, okay, I got my license. She was so excited. We were like, oh, okay, congratulations, Mom. And so she says, well, I'm going home. And I said, oh, Mom, let me get a ride. Let me get a ride. She says, okay. So I got in the car with her, and we were riding home. And, dude, people that were walking was passing us. I said, Mom, wow. I got to get out of here. I can't do this. And, man, I got out the car, and I ran home to prove to a point to her that she was going so slow that I could beat her home. And I remember seeing her drive by the top of the street. I could see her going by to turn her, you know, to come around, to come up the street. And I remember that. But this time, when I thought about it, it hurt my heart. And I felt so bad that I did that to my mom. And so I called up and I said, Mom, I'm so sorry. And she said, about what? And then I told her the story, and she don't even remember. And I said, wow, God's punishing me with it. He took it from her, and he's punishing me with it. So, yeah, we could be cruel as children, and so we have to be grateful for the ones who love us despite who we are.
Right, yeah, because Myrtle typed in the chat room as I was talking. She said, yeah, I had to straighten you out a few times, and she really did. I was a handful.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Yeah, and speaking of mamas, my other mama just came in the chat room, Phyllis.
Oh, very nice.
I got both my mamas in there now, you know, so I'm raring to go now, you know. But, yeah, it's all good. I loved growing up in Philadelphia, you know, and I think I heard you mention earlier, you know, that the show tonight is going to be dealing with, you know, some things from Philadelphia. And, I mean, when I think back on growing up in Philadelphia, all of the things that I got to experience, because oftentimes Philadelphia gets a bad rap, and that's not, you know, that's not good, you know. But, you know, Philly was a great place to grow up. I had a lot of good times, you know, a lot of great people. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's still a great city, you know, so I'm excited that Steve Green's going to be on the show with us tonight. One of my brothers, man, this is almost a family affair for me tonight. And so it's going to be a good thing. But Philly, I had my moments, you know, I had my times, but I made it through. I made it through, and I'm very thankful for that.
Very good. Yeah. Likewise. You know, man, I'm missing Angel, and just want to everyone to know that Angel is not here tonight. But she'll be back next week, and also next week we're really excited because who are we gonna have next week, DA?
I believe we are gonna have Evelyn Champagne King.
Hey, absolutely, and I'm so excited about that, you know. And the funniest thing is that I was talking to her husband. Us three were talking, and so he said, "So not this Friday, Wardell. Next Friday, right?" I said, "Yeah, next Friday." I said, "Let me just check what the date is on there," and it was said Friday the 13th, and he was telling his wife, "Are you sure you want to do it on Friday the 13th?
Oh, see, that's just wrong.
Oh, yeah. I said, tell her she don't have to go anywhere. All she got to do is pick up the phone. She'll be good.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But next Friday, it's all good. I'm not superstitious. Anyway, right. So I'm really excited once again. I believe we have one of our callers that's calling in regards to the Throwdown Brothers, what I've been sharing with you guys about, and we are going to find out who the Throwdown Brothers are, where did they come from, and what have they done, and on and on. So Mr. Dana Myers will be on the phone with us shortly.
All right. Well, before we do that, can we do as we always do and just take a short music break here?
Absolutely. That's what I was waiting for.
All right. Well, let's do this. You know, because since we've been talking about Philadelphia, I mean, everybody really loves this brother's music. And what a lot of people don't know is that he actually started in Philadelphia. He's from Philadelphia, and he still has that Philadelphia groove. So I tell you what, we're going to take a short break, listen to a little bit of Frankie Beverly and Maze, and we'll be right back with Wardell, DA, and I believe we will be speaking with our guest when we come back. Tuning in to WDKK, and we'll be right back.
Kick it, y'all. Kick it.
As long as she
Oh, yes, laid back kind of guy. That is Frankie Beverly and Mays. Ah, I love it. Nothing like a groove. Nothing like a groove. And we'd like to welcome back to WDKK all of our guests and Wardell.
Yes, Frankie Beverly. Man, what a funky groove. Anyway, I just want to move forward here because we have our guests on the line. And I want to introduce this guy I've known for many, many years, and I was blessed to have met him. He's such a humble and beautiful person, and everyone, almost everyone that knows him just loves this guy. So, and you'll see what I'm talking about once you get to meet him. His name is Mr. Dana Myers. Dana, how are you doing, my brother?
Hey, how you doing, brother? How you guys?
All right. Nice to have you. And by the way, that's D.A. Williams. D.A., that is Dana Myers.
Dana, how's it going, my brother?
We talked before, though. How you doing, man? How have you been?
I've been well. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm a happy guy right now because, you know, as you've heard, we're all starting to, the guys are starting to hook back up, so I'm smiling pretty much every day while this is going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that D.A. and I are from Philly. But guess where Dana is from, D.A.?
Where?
Where are you?
I'm in Ohio. I'm in Dayton, Ohio.
There you
the
go.
Land of funk.
Is that where you're from, Dana?
Yeah.
What part of Philly? I mean, what part of Ohio?
No, I'm from Dayton.
You're
Dayton.
From
I
Dayton.
Came out here in L.A. with Platypus and then was in Lakeside for a while, so it's a Dayton thing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No,
I went to Roth,
so, yeah.
Roth High School.
Okay, now Platypus, who was in that group?
Otis, who was in Lakeside, his brother Arthur Stokes.
Okay.
Originally Floyd Weatherspoon, Rock Jones, Kerry Rutledge, Curtis Sanford. I mean, we came out here in L.A. originally as Four Corners, then we turned into Platypus after we got out here. After I got ill and left the group, they signed with Casablanca and put out two albums.
Okay,
and I moved back to Dayton.
Did you know Robert Neal? They called him
that?
Robert Neal.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, yeah, because he's in Dayton, too, and I thought he was with Platypus, okay. But he was with somebody else, and I don't remember the group, but, yeah, it's a lot of
okay.
high artists came out of Dayton, almost as many as came out of Philly. No, I'm just messing with you. I'm biased to Philadelphia, of course, but, yeah, it's good to have you.
Okay. It's great to be here.
Well, listen, Dana, this is, you know, I just want to ask you, like, who are the Throwdown Brothers?
And you would be one of those.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So how did that even come to existence?
Man, that's a good story. I mean, I didn't come in quite as early as some of the guys, so I don't. It just sort of happened, I guess. I mean, I think a few of the guys, Ricky Smith and Kevin Spencer, and Joey Gallo played with Leon in this, as you know, backing up the Silvers. So they were already sort of in place when Leon started to do work for Solar with Dick Griffey. And I mean, you can tell your story. I guess Tony called you to come
West
out,
guy.
Right?
West guy,
yeah. And you know, Richard and Kevin grew up together. Richard Randolph. Okay, now who am I leaving out? You know, well, Stevie was playing on all of the tracks early on. He was in Lakeside, but, you know, the same thing, signed to Solar. So this my part of it, how I came in, is really bizarre. I mean, originally I was asked, you know, Shalimar came to Dick Griffey as a project that was already cut, you know, with, a tape and a lead singer. And then Jeffrey and Jody were put to that. And when the original lead singer left, they asked me to be in it, but the only reason I was no longer in Platypus is because I was ill. So, and I was really bad at that time. So I passed on it, you know. But Jeffrey called and asked me, and then Leon came and picked me up, and we went and saw Dick Griffey. So that's kind of a weird thing. Is I was in too bad a shape to take it, so I passed. So another almost a year passed, And I got well enough to go to Japan for like 6 months, you know, and even then I sat down. It was a, you know, piano bar kind of gig, so me and a keyboard player. And this is really bizarre that the day I got back from Japan, I mean, it hadn't been 24 hours that I was back in the country. And my friend was taking me back. He brought me in to run some errands. And on our way back to go to the freeway, I heard beep, 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 beep. And I turned, and it was Leon Silvers. I hadn't been back in the country for 24 hours, you know, and he pulled me over. You know, I mean, you know how he talks. It's like, oh, yeah, I got this idea for a three-man singing group, three lead singers, you know. So it's like I just got back in the country. I had turned down too much stuff I shouldn't have before, so it's like it was immediately, you know, yes. And so I was just brought into the fold as a singer originally. So the songwriting and production thing just sort of happened because, you know, I was there every day, and I think I even annoyed you guys for a while. It's like, who is this guy, and why is he always here? So
he was always there.
I was hungry, you know. I mean, I had all those years of in Dayton and then coming out here for all those years, you know, and just, you know, trying to make it, trying to make something happen. You know, I mean, there have been a few things. The reason we even came out here as Platypus is because, I mean, we had written a song that went on my – we wrote some songs and auditioned for Motown. They turned us down but took one of the songs and put it on Michael Jackson. So we timed it so for the to get out here, just time enough for the royalties, thinking that we could stay out here, you know, and that would help, you know, pay for some things. But all the time after that, just nothing. So once I fell into this situation, and Leon was in the studio every day cutting stuff, so I had to take advantage of that. You know, I didn't, whether cats thought, who is this guy and why is he here or not, I was going to be there, you know. So, and it just turned into the writing thing. And then we just, that was 40 years ago, I guess, man, or more maybe. How long ago?
Well, I
you
came
know,
out, I came out in 1979, and to audition for Dynasty. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I'm one of the Throwdown Brothers with Dana, and it's about eight of us. I wanted to have Dana come on here to kind of give you guys like a idea of who we are, because this thing is getting ready to happen, and I want you guys to know what's going on, because we're going to bring the rest of the guys on later on this season to, you know, to hear the whole story. But I came out in 79, and then I met Dana when we were going in the studio to record Second Time Around for Shalimar. And then we did, as we were doing that, and I found out the other day, because I couldn't figure out what song we did first, was Second Time Around or And the Beat Goes On. And then we found out that we did Second Time Around first, and then we went the next week and did And the Beat Goes On. And then, and we were there, what time, Dana, like 6 in the morning or something?
Yeah, it was early to late at night. I mean, I remember I had the flu. We were there all day. And all those tracks were actually for the guys that I still sing with. It wasn't even for the Whispers at first. That was actually a date for Myers, Field, Part, and Woods. And then, but all the songs got snatched and put on the Whispers, so I guess this conversation would be a little different, too, if had we sung those songs, you know, but that's how that goes. But we were there all day and night, and this stuff just started from there. It just really took off. I mean, because I think the only things that had been out prior to that was, like the Uptown Festival thing was the first thing, which came, you know, with, and that might have even been Soul Train, or even Soul Train late before it was Solar. I can't remember. But then they cut the, what was the name of the first Shalimar album that Leon produced? What was it called?
Yeah, To the Bank.
Something,
yeah,
Garden,
the single.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that and Lakeside, I think, had been the only two things that had come out that had hit prior to that. So all of that stuff, when you came on Wardell, was the first of the stuff that was really take off and the biggest of the hits, you know, so. That's when it was all starting. I had been just watching prior to that time, to when you came out and started playing. I think Brandon and Leon, that time it was like 78, right up when after I got back. But it took me a while to even figure out what was going on and where I fit. But I remember those sessions and just looking at, you know, immediately the sound was just unbelievable. You know, sometimes you just get some people together and they understand each other or something. I don't know what it is, you know, but that sound was just there. And, you know, which obviously, I mean, because of the hits, you know, I mean, just they just came one after another. and that band that was Dynasty pretty much played everything except, you know, the music that was self-contained bands like Lakeside and Midnight Star. But everything else was that Dynasty band with Steve Shockley, you know. And
Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I'm just happy to be a part of that coming together again, you know, having been in the writers and the vocal part of that session.
Yeah, well, you know, Dana.
I mean, session players.
D.A., Dana was, you know, he, like, we would provide, we came up with the music, which, you know, we really didn't know. We were young. We were in our early 20s. We didn't know. We were just having a great time, and we were doing these songs, and Dick Gurfee knew. He knew because he started grabbing that stuff right away, and
right.
You know, and even pulled it from Dana's group, you know, to put it on the Whispers, which was Anna B Goes On, and then
okay.
We did Second Time Around for Shalimar, and that stuff just took off. And then Dick Gurfee says, "I want to keep the same thing. I want that right there, whatever that is. That's what I want." And we continue to do it. But Dana, the thing that I wanted to share with you about Dana. Was I've never met anybody. It's just two people I think are the greatest lyricists out of that whole time, and that was Dana Myers and Kevin Spencer. Their lyrics were so intense.
So
you're welcome. So the music that we did was good, but the lyrics made it go to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes as listeners, we like the groove. Yeah, we enjoy it, but then when you start getting into the words, you go, wow, that was clever. That is really good. And that's the lyrics that Dana would write, was just those great, clever lyrics. It was like, wow, I couldn't – like, how did he think of that? So I always admired his work, and that's why he was always there, because while we're sitting there cutting tracks, he's in there, but his brain is burning on the lyrics. What is he going to put on top of this stuff?
You know, actually, when we were sitting there, it wasn't so much lyrics, because I would have to go someplace and do that. That came harder for me. It was having a lick saber and humming into it while the tracks are going on for melodies and stuff. But
Because
I think for me, the lyrics is really, even though it worked out really well, it was really difficult. I mean, it's really something I have to put a lot of time into. I mean, it's great when you see it happens and it's out and on the radio, and then, you know, people like you say what you just said about it. It makes me really feel good, but. They don't just kind of roll off my sleeve like they do with Kevin. I think it comes easier for him. I have to do it like a movie script. You know, I have to actually go someplace and sit down and put all kinds of notes out. I mean, you know, by the time I pick out what works, you know, there's enough words on paper strewn all over the place for probably 20 songs, you know, and then I just pick the best out of it. So, you know, it's time to go to bed by the time I finish some lyrics. It's so rough. So, but it all worked out. You know, I mean, it's just that that assembly line way that we did things. I mean, people just have to see that to believe. You know, it was a different day, so nobody knows about now being in a rehearsal hall working some songs and grooves out with a band, you know, in a circle, you know, somebody with a computer nowadays. So I mean, it's a whole different world, you know, creating things like that, like the way we did it. I mean, and even some companies that I've been with prior didn't really do it that way. I mean, you know, the producer found a song. Then he hired a rhythm arranger, and then he hired a string arranger, you know, and then people had charts in front of them, and you know, it was just all off the cuff with us, what came out of into our heads and out our ears and onto the keyboards or the guitar or the voice. So it was quite a thing to watch and be a part of.
Okay, now let me ask this question here so I can wrap this concept around my brain here. So were the Throwdown Brothers kind of like for Solar what the Funk Brothers were for Motown? In other words,
it was that, and also like what the Wrecking Crew was on the pop side of things. It was a group of people that were playing on all the tunes. Yeah, it's sort of different though, because with both of those other things, they were guys who came together to do those sessions. In this instance, most of the people with the exception of me and Steve, was in a band together, in Dynasty, another group from Solar.
Okay.
So it was more than just session guys. They were actually a unit of people who played together and went on tour.
Wow. Okay.
You know,
that's
we didn't even mention Leon as a. I mean, he was the bass player in the Throwdown Brothers. That's one name that didn't get mentioned because he was the leader of the whole thing. But you know, they were all Dynasty. So that band would actually even go on tour and put records out of their own. So it was really a different type of machine. And then we were there all the time. So we all became really close friends, and we still have been over all of these decades. You know, we've still, you know, been really close friends. I mean, I'm not really sure how many stories are like that throughout the industry, throughout the history of the industry. How many people that were, session players for a company and band members, I mean, stayed close friends for like 30, 40 years. I don't hear that too much. You know, mostly hear a bunch of bickering,
right,
and fighting and going to court, you know. And,
right.
Well,
let
me answer this question that DA just asked also. Dynasty,
okay.
I mean, not Dynasty, but the Throwdown Brothers was truly the same thing as the brothers for the Funk Brothers were for Motown. But the difference is that we didn't just play, we wrote and produced this stuff as well. And unfortunately,
okay,
for the Funk, they didn't get that blessing. They didn't get that opportunity that they should have had that blessing, that opportunity, because they created a lot of that music, but they did not get what the writers on that stuff, and that was pretty sad. So we were real fortunate over at Soul
Yeah,
Art.
And we were groomed for that as well. I mean, they also just disappeared after the sessions and, you know, and weren't allowed to go the next stage, and Leon groomed us to be writers and producers. I mean, he didn't want to be the guy all the time, so he wanted us to learn the craft of the production and writing so that we could do things on our own for the company where he didn't have to be around at all. And eventually that's what happened. All of us were producing records. Everybody was producing albums on the various groups and stuff. So I don't know how often that happened in the industry either.
Man, that's powerful. That's powerful stuff. Definitely.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I just wanted to share with you, D.A., like, Dana, can you just share with D.A. some of the names of the songs that you wrote? I know we have another interviewer coming up real soon, but
okay,
just share with some of the songs that you wrote.
Okay, let me think. I'll just say the singles, because I'll get confused,
yeah,
myself. Let's go by artist. I want to start with Whispers of Shalimar. It doesn't really matter, huh? Whispers, It's a Love Thing, I Can Make It Better, In the Raw. Shalimar, Night to Remember, There It Is, This Is for the Lover in You.
Wow.
Dynasty, almost too many to, I can't even remember all of them. But Gladys Knight, not Solar, but still something we did at Silver Spoon. You're Number One in My Book. You know, I wrote through the stuff on me and Wardell, and, you know, on the Tavares and on the Spinners, and so all kinds of groups. I'm not even sure who I'm leaving out, you know, but there was a lot of work. We did a lot of work, and I was just lucky enough for some reason for a long stretch to get singles and sometimes even B-sides. That's just lucky. I don't know why that happened. You know, I was just luckily got involved in those songs. There was a lot of singles, but, I mean, all of us had them as well. I mean, Wardell had quite a few big singles, so, you know, that are like
right,
Keep On Loving Me, and, you know, I mean, that are like classics, you know, now. So we're just blessed to be part of that thing that everybody was involved in, and everybody was involved in every song. It's like, you know, I mean, if you go back and look at any of those albums and look at the credits, I mean, you just see the same names in one category or another, writer, producer, or played on it, or arranged or something. It's just, you know, those names over and over and over again. So it was a blessing to be part of that, and I'm, like I said, really happy to be hooking up musically.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, we have, me too. I'm really looking forward to it, and I just want to say thank you so much, Dana, for, you know, taking out the time to come on and share with us your legacy and you know, and all the hard work and the wonderful blessings that you had and that you gave us, the listeners. Thank you so much, and we appreciate you very much, man. Looking forward to having you on when, you know, you have the rest of the brothers with you and we can all just have a great time sharing some stuff with the listeners and stuff and play some of this and play some of the music as well. So thank you, and I really appreciate you, and I love you, man.
Yeah, I think we lost them. Yeah, for some reason, it looks like he dropped out of the switchboard, so I guess he'll be calling back, right back in, hopefully. But what we'll do, we'll take a little short music break here, and again, I do believe that he will be calling back in, so we're going to take a short music break, and then we're going to come back, and it looks like we're going to be heading on over into Philadelphia here in a minute. It looks like we have our next guest in from Philadelphia. Looking forward to talking to brother. Have talked to him for a while. Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning into WDKK Radio. I'm DA here with Wardell Potts Jr., Dana Myers, and we'll be back in just a few moments with Mr. Steve Green. And again, you're listening to WDKK, and we will be right back in just a moment or two.
Hi, this is Lavelle Three of the Whispers. Why don't you come check us out on the Love Zone? We're going to be chopping it up with Mr. Ryel Sims and Wardell Potts. I think you guys are going to want to hear this, so come check us out.
On WDKK Radio, where the legacy continues.
And made me sure.
And again, thanks for tuning in to WDKK Radio. My name is D.A. I'm here with my co-host and the person of Wardell Potts Jr. And I had to play a little bit of Style Listeners because I had to get my Philly vibe going. You know what I mean, Wardell?
Yeah. And those guys are in Europe right now. I just talked to them.
All right.
I had to
get that Philly vibe. Now, our next guest that we're bringing in right now in the person of Mr. Steve Green. Wow, I've known this brother for a long, long time. So we'd like to welcome Steve to WDKK Radio. Steve, how's it going, my brother?
Wonderful, wonderful. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well.
How's everybody? How you doing, Wardell? Brother Darryl?
It looks like we're having a little bit of problem with the switchboard because Wardell just dropped out, but I'm sure he'll be right back in. So we'll just keep it going until he calls back in. What is going on in your world?
Oh, man, I'm just playing and praying, brother. You know, God is good, man. I'm just following Jesus, man. And everything else is just work is cake. You know.
All right. Yeah, so, I thought I saw something on Facebook where you're preaching now too.
I've been doing a little preaching. My pastor at my church. I'm an elder at my church, and the pastor asked me on a few occasions to bring the word. You know, when she was out of town. So,
okay.
It's been a wonderful thing, man. Wonderful thing. Yeah.
That's great. Well, it looks like we have Wardell back now. Wardell, you with us?
All right.
What's up, Mr. Green?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. We're having some technical difficulties with these phones, but, you know, just bear with us, man. Very, very blessed to have you on the line, man.
I'm glad to be here.
I see you all the time, and I really appreciate the website you have, the musicians.
Musicians Fellowship.
Yeah, the Musicians Fellowship. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. It's very nice. Very nice.
Oh, great. Well, that grew out of it. We have a fellowship. It's actually a live fellowship that happens every third Monday here in Philadelphia. We get together, a bunch of musicians get together and praise God and lift each other up and sharpen each other's iron. Sometimes we have a meal. We have a jam session. One of the musicians brings the word. And we just have a great time in the Lord every third Monday at Cedar Park Presbyterian Church, up in Lime
Corner,
right on the corner. So that Facebook page grew out of the Musicians Fellowship.
Okay. All right. That's great. Now, Steve, you know, I mean, you being a bass player and me being a drummer, you seem, you know, I can see how much passion you have for your bass. You know, I know you started off with the secular music, and you probably still do that, and praise mm-hmm. you and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel yourself transitioning from that one type of music to another type of music, or were you able to find a happy balance trying to do both?
Yeah, I just play music. You know, there's no holy C's and no holy B flats. You know, music is music. You know, and you know, I don't have two hats. You know, I don't wear two coats that, you know, I'm, you know, I take this coat off and go to church and then put another coat on and then leave church. And then when I go out in the world, I wear something. You know, I'm just me all the way. 24/7.
Right, that's who you are.
Right, so, you know, I can play, you know, I play with Breakwater, love playing with Breakwater. We're having a ball. And, you know, I have my band, The Elevators, and other projects that I work on as well. But I also play drums in church every Sunday. Drums, check
what?
That out.
Wow.
What? Come on, man. How you going to take our gig?
I know, right?
But that's been a blast, you know. So, you know, wherever I go, man, I just, you know, Jesus is with me and I'm with him. So, It don't make no difference whether I'm playing rhythm and blues, funk, jazz, or gospel. I'm the same.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful, man.
Wow,
you know,
that's really good stuff.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, that you got to stop playing any other kind of music when you get into church because, you know, that's your walk. But, you know, quite frankly, you need to check out some of the gospel musicians. They need to really get their act together because they're just as wild as, you know, and I'm not calling them names or anything. I'm just saying they're just living just as wild as rock and roll musicians. You know what I'm saying?
So right. Yeah,
it's
you know,
not about the genre of music. It's about the walk.
Yeah, I heard a lot of rumors about that. Yeah, I don't want to dwell on it, but yeah, I do. I know I heard about that. So it's truly what's in your heart, not what you're wearing or playing.
Right, exactly.
Right, right. There you go.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I know that's the mistake that I made. When I first really started my walk, you know, with the Lord. And Steve, you're familiar with it, you know, of what happened. And I stopped playing. Then I picked it back up. And so many years later, I kind of wish I never really stopped playing when I did. You know, but I'm glad to see that now people are really realizing because you have a walk, you know, with the Lord and he's doing things in your life, that doesn't mean you have to lay down your gifts and your talents. You know, you keep using them, you know. So I'm glad
you're
doing that, man, definitely.
Yeah. Because no telling who you're going to run into where, man. I might need that word. Well, you might be the one to plant that seed or the one to water that seed or the one to fertilize that seed that's been planted. So, you know,
right.
Could be anywhere at any time.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. So what are you doing musically? What are you doing musically, Steve? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we've been working. Breakwater got back together, you know, in the spirit of our man, our brother Kay Williams, you know, has moved us forward after 30-something years apart. We, and Dow remembers, we got together at Kay's funeral for the first time in a long time, and that kind of blossomed into a cookout and a jam session and then into gigs, and now we're working on a new I can't say album anymore. New project,
right.
You can't even say CD no more, you know, things are changing
so rapidly
in the business. That's been a ball, you know. We're working with those brothers, you know. I also have a group called The Elevators, which is more of a jazz, inspirational jazz funk band that I've been working with. And then I'm very involved in my church as well. So, like I said, I play drums, but, you know, I work with the youth choir and all that as well. And I am just in the process now of putting together a new band.
Jeez.
With some fire young cats from Philly, man. Some cats that are like off the chain, you know. Because, you know, I'm 58 years old now, you know.
Okay.
And I'm looking at I see these young cats, you know, and that are so gifted. And the Lord just put on my heart to just grab some of these young guys and just do a project with them. The only old cat is going to be me.
Yeah. Now I wore down.
Oh, whatever.
We have the same exact about that. Brother Justin Faulkner, drummer out of Philly, he also plays with Bradford Marshall. He's a wonderful brother, and a great musician. Stan Davis Jr., who's an awesome musician. And all three of these cats play all the instruments, too. I mean, including bass. And
okay.
Also Carl McNeil Jr. So, you know, we're in the process of building that foundation. Now I'm really excited about that. I also have a TV show here in Philly that I host called Steve Green Show, of course, that comes on every Sunday, 5 o'clock here in Philly on the public access station, Philly Cam.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can see. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say there are episodes of, if you're not in Philly, there are episodes of the show up on SteveGreenShow.com. So you can go to the website. I think there's about maybe 13, 14 episodes up there.
What's your show about?
Well, the show's about, folk featuring, some of the artists in the Philadelphia area, as well as inspirational points of view, current events, and just fun. So it's kind of a variety with a serious message, because it's about word. Everything that I do at this point in my life is ministry. So that's included in the TV show as well.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question about your TV show, because I know you've been doing it for a couple of years, and I was just curious. How come I never got an invitation to be on the show?
I knew it was 17.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I tell you what, you have an invitation.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
I will make a trip up there just to do it.
Yes. Oh, we can Skype. We can also Skype as well, brother.
Oh yeah. We're gonna have to talk. We're gonna have to talk. definitely.
Yeah, because it's a whole new world out here, man. The game has changed.
Yes, it has.
The script has flipped.
That's for real.
The record industry is no longer. Entertainment is a whole nother thing, and the wonderful thing about the access that every man has now is amazing. Worldwide international access, as you know yourself with your wonderful radio shows, access is just on so many levels, and it's just getting more and more. We have to start looking at things differently and looking at communication and possibilities and things that seemed out of our grasp are like right before us now. It's just a wonderful time.
Absolutely. Now, what do you have show-wise that's coming up in the near future with any of the groups that you're working with? Does Breakwater have anything on the scene?
Yeah, Breakwater will be at the World Cafe here in Philly on the 27th of November.
Okay.
That's a nice, really nice venue, And then also we'll be on New Year's Eve and that whole weekend at Warm Daddy's here in Philly.
Okay. Man.
Yeah, so we've been on the grind, kind of like young boys trying to, here's the thing. Okay, so we talk about doing another record or project, right?
Right.
Well, who was our nucleus for doing that? Well, it was your brother, Kay Williams, right? So,
right.
We had to evolve into a new dynamic to be able to write and create music that is compatible and also that is that goes with our sound, that continues what we started, but it also moves us on. So that process has been very interesting because, we come to the realization a couple times that, hey, wait, we can't do it like we did it because, June being... June tell you what to do in a minute. You know what I'm saying? He's had a whole point. So the cats had to really start digging in themselves and what it is that we have at this time to offer to this sound, which has been an interesting process.
Okay. It sounds it's a beautiful thing though, man. I was so happy, when you guys hooked back up. To keep that going, Because those were some great times, you know. Those were some great days, man. It really blessed me when, you know, when you guys hooked back up. So yeah, absolutely.
I gotta tell you something, D. I was in Vegas one day, right? And I was in the hotel room, and I had this dream that we was in the basement, and Kay was at the organ, and we was hitting this jam. This joint was so funky. You know how it's when it's so funky, you get that your neck start chucking. You know, the whole band's neck is chucking. And we was chucking. I mean, this thing was so stank and funky, right? I woke up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night, and I went and grabbed my tape recorder, and I started singing this groove, right? I called the cats in the bed. I said, look, listen, Kate just gave me this groove, man, in my dream. Wow, man. You know.
That's good stuff, though.
It's good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
I'm really happy to hear that you guys are back together. But I'm ready for you guys to do a cabaret. What happened to cabarets, man? Like, am I just stuck in old? Like, that was so much fun. I want to see a cabaret, man. What's up with that?
But like with
nobody
the
does that anymore.
With the yellow signs on the poles, advertisement. We put the yellow sign with the black writing on it.
That's
funny you should say that, man. That's funny you should say that because you know that's really interesting that you should say that because I had an idea that I was going to present to a radio station here in Philly to do exactly that thing because you know. What's old is new again. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
right. So, but that was the thing. Folks come, bring chicken.
It was
bring
crazy.
Bring some potato salad, right? Bring your own booze, you know, and then get some setups, you know, with the ice and the ginger ale, the sodas, right? And have a good time, man. Have four or five bands. Well, here's the whole problem. Here's the whole problem now, though. There ain't that many bands anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, you got break? You got
Breakwater. Yeah, but I'm just talking about the scene.
Hey, what happened to Brutus?
Brutus, you know, actually, those cats have been talking about doing something. Rumored, you know, because check this out. Here's a wonderful thing. What happened to Brutus? You remember Fred Brown from Brutus, the lead singer?
Yeah.
I don't remember, no.
Okay, Fred Brown is a member of the Musicians Fellowship. We are together every third Monday. That brother, we fellowship together. Not well, we together every third Monday, but we fellowship all through the month, man. Yes. So Fred is doing well. He's a deacon in his church, man. He's strong in the word, and he's doing real good, man. And Donald Robinson as well is around. In fact, one of the first musician fellowship, I think it was the third or the fourth musician fellowship that we had a benefit for Donald, who at that time had been diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
So we had a benefit to help him, you know, with him and his family with their bills. And it was there were so many musicians who were involved. It was at my church on the Musician Fellowship. And we had about 250 people came out. And I tell you, it was off the chain, man. Gerald Veasley and Stacey Harcum and what's the brother's name that played the bass player?
Rudy?
No, the cat, Adam Blackstone, you know who he is?
I don't think so.
Adam's a bass player he's actually from Trenton, but he's from the Philly scene, who is like the cat. He's the music director for Janet Jackson, Rihanna. He's the cat they call, the heavyset brother with the beard, you wear his hat on the side. You know,
okay.
So, you ever,
okay. Yeah.
He's like a young cat from Round City. So he was there and a whole bunch of guys. Anyway, so there was a bunch of musicians there, and we raised a large chunk of money for Donald. But we had there was a healing session that took place during the fellowship.
Mm.
I'm telling you, and it was strong, brother. It was strong. And Fred Brown. Fred has this dance, man, that's this spirit dance that he does, right? And
right.
In the midst of this healing segment of the evening, Fred went into this dance, and I tell you, I felt the energy. I felt the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
I mean, so it was an awesome night. We raised a bunch of money. So Donald was happy and his family was happy, and he was supposed to start, he's going to start his treatment for his radiation and everything. So he went for his radiation treatment, the first one that he was supposed to have, and guess what? They couldn't find nothing to radiate. They couldn't find nothing to radiate, brother.
Wow.
He got it good, man.
That's good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Beautiful.
That's beautiful. That's one thing that's happened with Brutus. But they've been talking about getting back together, or doing something, doing a project. And I, you know, also I've been talking to Pete Rudd.
Right.
See if maybe we can get Raw Image back together in some form.
Yeah.
But you know what? We talked about this previously a few years ago on your show.
Exactly, and it still hasn't come to fruition.
Mhm. Well,
come on, man.
I know. Well, you know.
And then what about?
Hey, let me tell you something, fellas. I have a hard enough time keeping Breakwater together.
I know that. What about Forces of Nature? You remember them?
Yeah. Yep. I see.
Man.
What's it? Michael. Brian Evans, their lead singer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
with Stylistics, yeah.
Yeah.
He, you know, I see him around town and Faison on Facebook.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You get
so
those
good
bands
to hear, though.
Amazing.
So
everybody had horn. It was amazing back then. Oh, man.
It's so good to hear the good reports coming out of Philadelphia. You know, that things are still going. And that's what I was saying a little earlier. I mean, Philadelphia often gets a bad rap as a bad city. But, I mean, in the core of it, I mean, there is still a sense of that brotherly love. And, you know, Steve, to hear that so many positive things are happening musically, and then also the spiritual dynamic of it, it's like, man, make me want to move back to Philadelphia.
Come on back, brother. We need you, man.
Man, that's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff.
Well, there's a renaissance happening in Philadelphia right now. And, you know, some things are unfortunate because, you go to Motown. Now you go to Detroit, you can go to the Motown Museum, right?
Right.
Last year, they tore down 309 South Broad Street, you know, Philly International, to the ground.
Right.
And making some business stores or something over there. That's a historical landmark, you know.
It is.
So finally, I think there is a push in Philadelphia that there is an arts council now.
Okay.
And so they're honoring different folks around Philadelphia, different musicians and different artists. Also, they made Sigma Sound, which is closed down now, but they made that an historic place there. So there's a renaissance happening in Philly now. You know, with the Pope coming here, that was a really, you know, kind of turnaround in terms of, you know, the city being a place to be. And now the Democratic convention is coming here. So,
okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of clubs that are starting to, well, I don't say a lot, but there are clubs that are starting to open, and there's a feeling of the music scene in Philadelphia that there's this, you know, there's a spark of something, you know. And,
that's good.
Yeah. So
that's good. How's the radio industry doing up there?
The radio industry is scene has changed in Philadelphia in that, you know, WDAS, which of course you know WDAS because your dad was the hottest DJ in Philadelphia. So,
right.
Right. But, you know, so DAS is now owned by Clear Sound. So
okay.
DAS, Power 99, WMMR, and a couple other stations, they're all owned by the same, they're all in the same building.
Oh.
So
okay.
There's nobody breaking records anymore. That's not,
right.
You know, that don't
right.
happen. Everything is, you know, just cookie cutter.
Right.
Now,
right.
Kathy Hughes, the sister, African-American woman, she owns two stations in Philadelphia. No, three stations.
Whoa.
She owns Rhythm and Blues station, you know, like oldies, old school Rhythm and Blues.
Right.
And she owns a gospel station, and then one station that's kind of hip hop. Now, you know, they're you remember Lady B, don't you?
Yeah.
So Lady B, she's got a show that's called the Basement Party, prime time, and she's really you know, she's about the music and about trying to break in some new things at the same time as playing the old things. So she's pretty much on fire right now.
Okay.
But DAS is still killing. But it's
wow.
not like when Butterball had it and when, you know, you could hear a record for the first time played.
Right.
In, you
right.
know, right. Now that don't happen no more.
Right. Well, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, the blessing of the technology that we have.
Right.
So with a lot of things that were being done, you know, with, terrestrial radio, you know, internet still chugging along, you know, internet radio still chugging along to make a mark.
Right.
You know, but we're doing what we can do, though. You know, we're doing what we can do.
Mm-hmm. That's
Absolutely.
Important. That's important.
Yeah.
Important alternative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now you said that your the Musicians Fellowship meets once a month. Give the location of the church and everything again.
Yeah, it's right on the corner of Upland and Limekiln Pike, 7740 Limekiln Pike.
Okay.
Yep.
And your Facebook information is what?
You can either look me up as Steve Green or Breakwater. Fine. Check me out on my website, stevegreenshow.com.
Okay. And let me tell you something that just happened a couple of days ago, and I'm gonna hit you up offline about this too.
Okay.
I had somebody contacted me from Germany, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he found me, but he collects memorabilia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he contacted me off of Facebook or DKK, but somehow he knew there was a Breakwater connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is really trying to get his hands on, like, promotion pictures from Arista Records from Breakwater. And I'm like, well, I can put you in contact with some folks, but I don't know if I have any. But,
right.
And this was, like, from Germany, you know. And, you know, and I started thinking, I said, wow, here's folks from outside of the States, and it's like 30 years later,
mm-hmm.
and Breakwater is still really in everybody's mind. I mean, man, the stuff y'all was doing, it was just phenomenal. But I'm going to hit you up offline about it and
yeah.
you know, get you this guy's information, see what's going on there. So, yeah,
right.
yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's amazing, man, that, you know, the fan base is true. You know, when we play, man, they come, boy, and they know the
right.
You know, the funny thing, you know, we were talking, you know, when we're playing, you know, we're looking out in the audience, and these folks are singing the songs, and like, we're, you know, all the ad-libs and everything, right? And
right.
I told Bush, I said, bro, you can't even mess up, man, because you sing one verse, they're going to know. They're going to, all right, I don't go like that.
Right, right.
Folks are serious about their music, man. I love it.
They are.
I love it.
They are. And how are all the brothers doing health-wise, man?
Everybody's doing good, man, hanging in, man. You know, you know, we get older, you know, it's like these these classic cars that we ride around, and you got to be easy on them.
Right,
you gotta change
right.
the belts every now and again, change the hoses, you know.
Exactly.
Put some of that premium oil in there, but keep rolling. But
Definitely tell everybody I was asking about them, man. And I'm gonna get up there as soon as I can. And once I get up there, we all gonna get together anyway. So
Hey, you know who I ran into, man? Your boy, Rod Justin.
Yeah.
He did some work for me on my house. He's very talented. Doing pointing on stone.
Yeah,
he's real good. That guy's got an eye. Yeah, we were talking, man, reminiscing, man. He's talking about you and your band.
Hey, everybody sounds bad, man. But now I might have been bad, you know, and I'm a stroke my own horn for a minute. Now I might have been bad, but I can hold a pocket now. I could, you know.
Oh, you can hold
a pocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You had a nice pocket, man. I remember. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah, I
definitely.
Can see Wardell pop back in now. You there, Wardell?
Yeah, you guys having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying listening.
Yeah, you know, folks used to laugh at me. You remember Donnell Farrell, right? Steve played when I was with Fillmore West.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him, it must have been a couple months ago, and he was laughing, right? I said, Donnell, what you laughing at? He said, man, every time I think about you, Rod, and Kyle, you know, because back then we were more into the fusion thing. You know, that's when Chick Corea and Lenny White, man, all those guys were popping. And that's what we did. But then as a rhythm unit, we hooked up with Fillmore West, and Fillmore West was doing top 40 stuff.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we said, yeah, we'll play with y'all. You know, we'll be the rhythm section. And, you know, we was a little arrogant, you know, but here's the deal, though. We have to have at least one set where we play our fusion stuff. So we at cabarets, right? And Donnell said, man, I'll never forget. Y'all were the only people I know that were trying to do some Billy Cobham stuff in the middle of a bout. They man, it's all about the arranging, man, you know. But, I mean, they were just good times. You know, you can get away with stuff like that, you know. But, you know, I'm thinking about some of those days of playing, man. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, good stuff,
yeah.
Man. You know, just speaking of fusion and that type of playing, you know, it's amazing, man, that the only place now that you can hear cats playing that way is in the church.
Right.
The drummers in the church, man, are doing Billy Cobham rolls and you know, I mean, these cats are like, and not just, I mean, killing it, right? Killing it.
Yeah.
Bass players are playing all over the place. It's like, you know, it's amazing, man. But that, like,
it is.
Don't forget Steve said he's a drummer in church.
I know.
That's what he's doing in church. So don't forget Steve's a drummer in church now. He wanted to get some Billy Cobham feels in himself.
Right. Now, Steve Wardell plays in the church, too.
I know he does, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's your
really strange, Steve, because my dad's a preacher. I grew up in church, but I never played for his church.
Mm-hmm.
I played for my grandfather's church, but I never played for my dad's church because they never had drums there. So, it kind of makes me sad when I think about that, you know. All those years he was preaching in Philadelphia, I never played there. But I found a wonderful church out here in California, which I love. And I love playing for these people and, you know, praising with them, you know, because
right.
they praise right back at you, you know. And it's just a wonderful, yeah, that thing is a great, that's, ooh, back and forth like that is a beautiful thing. So,
yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
And that's how I
no Billy Cobham
praise and worship. Gospel, yes, but not praise and worship.
Not praise and
worship.
But that's how I started playing drums. It was before I was a member of my church, one of the elders asked me to produce a gospel-rama for the church. Like and it was a fundraiser to raise money for the church, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a great time. I brought a bunch of folk in, and we raised a lot of money, which was really good. So, but I wasn't thinking about joining the church. You know, I was just doing a gig, really.
Right.
And but the church was, I just noticed that everyone was so friendly at the church. I felt really welcome. It's my first memory of my church. You know, and.
Okay.
So then they would call me in and ask me to do different events for them, which I did for a while. And this one particular was a youth rally they asked me to do, and I called some musicians in to do the hit, and the drummer we had rehearsed at the church at. But the drummer got a gig to go on the road on before this youth service would take place. So he had to go. So he left his drums at the church. And so what I did was I said, well, you know, it was a kind of a last minute thing. I said, well, look, I'll play the drums. I've always been a closet drummer. You know what I mean? You know, the drummer get up, I sneak up there. You know. So I played the drums. Now, see, this is a Presbyterian church. You know,
okay.
Presbyterians are, you know, they were the frozen chosen, you know. So.
Right, right.
So we had when I started playing the drums, the first thing I noticed was that all the young people in the church started coming to the front of the church. Like the drums were like magnetizing them. It was like, you know, I was like, wow, look at this, man. They all came, you know, around, you know, the drums. And so, you know, it was great. We had a wonderful service, and I had a gig that night. I went to the gig. So the next day, that was a Saturday. So I came to the church the next day, which was Sunday. And I was sitting in the church, and I don't know if you've ever been to a Presbyterian service, but it's pretty traditional, you know.
Right.
And so I'm sitting at the service, and, you know, and it's the preacher's delivering a good word, and the choir's singing. I'm trying to get the beat. I'm patting my foot, you know, while they're singing. I said, come on now. Come on, y'all. Come on now.
Right.
Right. And something told me in the middle of the service to get up and walk down and start playing those drums. Because they were still set up from the day before, right?
Right.
So I was obedient. I got up, I walked down there, I got on the drums, and the same thing happened. All the young people that were in the church that morning started gravitating to the drums. So I played this, you know, for the rest of the service. I could see some of the old women, some of the seniors looking at me like, boy, is you crazy? You know what I mean? So then it was this wild thing that happened was that folks were like, yeah, we want drums in the church. We want, you know, keep playing when people came to me, right? And then there was another group in the church that was like, we never did it that way before, you know, that. We never had no drums in no church. So I said, look, y'all work that out. Something just told me to get up and play, but y'all work it out, what you want to do.
That's it.
And they worked it out, and they came back, they said, yeah, we want drums. I said, okay, well, you know, and it was just a keyboard player. No
right.
bass player. But I figured they needed drums more than they need a bass player, you know. And so I've been playing drums in church ever since then. Let me see. I've been in the church 14 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at God work.
Yep. And the wonderful thing is that because I love to play drums so much, I'm getting blessed just being able to do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And
right.
Then, like Wardell said, just to get the feedback that we are in the spirit, praising God and in the sanctuary together, the congregation and the music. It's just, I'm just blown away every Sunday, man. It's just like,
yeah,
what
that, that's great. Yeah, that's great. That's, ooh, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm looking for, you know, because I keep telling the folks who I serve, I'm like, okay, well, you know, we have to keep building this praise and worship department, you know. And they're like, well, what kind of music do you want? I said, you really want to know? You know, and, you know, it gets real funny, though, you know, because I'll stop into some of the rehearsals. And, you know, those years of being around music starts coming out, you know.
Right.
And they're like, okay, all right, well, you can leave now. Because I start hearing stuff, you know. I'm like, okay, well, try this, you know, try that. They're like, look, we got this, you know. But man, just to, you know, to hear that and the stuff that's happening, man, it's exciting. It's really exciting. Definitely.
Yeah, it's a good time, man. It's a good time. I mean, it's, you know, what I was going to say is it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. But, hey, don't matter,
right?
Because Jesus is in control. Thank God for Jesus, man.
That's it. Let me ask you this, because I know that the time is winding down. what do you want to share to the folks out of your heart, man?
Well, folks that are listening, if you hear my voice right now, and if you never tried the Lord, if you never tried Jesus, if you never give him a try, and he will not let you down,
mm-hmm.
That's a fact, because somebody told me that one day, and I was at the lowest of lows in my life, you know, and somebody said, well, try God, try Jesus.
Mm.
And I had tried everything else.
Right.
Nothing worked. And, man, let me tell you something. My life has from that moment that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it has been nothing but wonderful. He started fixing things in my life I didn't even know was broken.
Right.
And even every step of the way, well, you know, every step of the way that we in this walk with him, even when things are bad, even in the midst of the storm, he's still there. He never leaves us. So
no doubt.
You know, if you try him, because he'll blow your mind. He's sweet and he's fair and he loves us. Each one of us. He loves each one of us just the same. And it don't make no difference what you've done, how bad it is. Don't make no difference. When he washed, he just washed everything away.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Amen.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Wardell.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. I enjoyed you two having a nice brotherly conversation. That blessed me. I just muted my line and just enjoy listening to you guys love up on each other. And thank you for blessing me with that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we go way back.
Yep.
And and to all the listeners, you know, again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to the broadcast tonight with Dana Meyer, Steve Green, Wardell, and myself, D.A. And, we just want to again, you know, reiterate even what Steve said. You know, no matter where you are, what you're dealing with, what you're going through, God's there for you. You know, there's no prepackaged of what God expects. He knows everything that you're dealing with. And you haven't had fun until you start a journey with the Lord. That's the reality. And it doesn't mean that you just kind of have to all of a sudden shut everything off. And Steve said it even earlier. You know, you don't have to shut everything off that you're doing and become, you know, some kind of closet hermit. That's not what it's about. If you're looking for fullness in life, God's the one that can do it for you. And I just want to leave that with you. And, brothers, do you have anything else you want to share?
Well, I want to thank you, Wardell, for calling me, brother. Because this has been a real joy, man, sharing this evening with you and Dee.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this has been good for me, too, to be on the phone with have three drummers on the phone.
I know. Y'all make me want to pull out my practice pad and sticks and start trying to work on my rudiments again.
I'm going to pull out my bass.
There you go. Maybe this time next year, DK be up in his own church thumping them drums and Billy Cobb and rolls.
You know that. They'd be like, man, what's up with Pastor? That's for real. But my brother, both of y'all, man, I want to thank y'all for taking out the time and coming on tonight and having some fun talking to the people, giving some words of inspiration, and, for hanging out. You know, that's what it's all about.
That's it.
All righty. Absolutely.
God bless everybody.
All right. God bless you too, my brother. And Wardell, bless you,
yes,
my
sir.
Brother. We're going to take this out a little different way. I have something I'm going to play for all of the listeners, play for Steve, play for you, play for me. Everybody have a great weekend. Mama Mert, Mama Phyllis, all the other listeners, thank you for tuning in to WDKK. And find some way to worship. Find some way to fellowship this weekend. God's got some good things for you. Stay blessed.
Oh, God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor and praise. Come on, come on.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days.
Yes.
We will praise you for the rest of our days.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands.
Oh.
trust that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. If you'd like to receive additional information about WDKK, you can write us at da@wdkkradio.com. That address again is da@wdkkradio.com. You can visit us online at wdkkradio.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for your listening pleasure. Be sure to tune in again for another broadcast on WDKK Radio.